This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Bruising Banner Podcast. Banner Podcast. Bruising Banner Podcast. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Bruising Banner Podcast. I'm your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, is the legendary Brew Crew. What up, fellas?
I would read this with you.
Mama.
Nah, it doesn't taste like dirt.
My name is Lou Belgium, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm wondering, does Delaware have an actual culture?
This is the podcast that we talk about beer, but we also talk about a lot of things that's happening in the world, politics, movies, anything really that comes to our mind while we're here, sampling these brews. Grab a drink and pull up a chair.
Ooh, we love you, Brews and Bitch Podcast. Do your...
Some fake, like I can hear the music.
What up? Welcome to Bruising Banter Podcast, where the topic is the rocking and the brew. Well, that'd be a few. I'm your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, the legendary Brew Crew. What's going on, yo?
Part of? What's up? Hi.
Shout out to Lou Belgium. He's absent today, but shout out to him. Prayers to all the family and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
we have a great time today for all our returning listeners, bruisers and bruisettes, I guess I should say. We are glad you are back for another episode of Bruising Banter Podcast, and for our first time listeners, welcome too. We are glad you're here. We appreciate you making it here for our 300 something odd episode, and then you have.
Yeah.
People love the binge, so you have an opportunity to binge all our catalog if you like. But we do have great guest with us this afternoon, this morning, this evening. So we, without further ado, we want to bring him in. He is the head brewer of Zero Day Brewing and a comedian. We have Malik Stark. Let me bring him in.
And a comedian. What's happening, man? Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks again. But before we get into anything, we always like to know what everybody is drinking on, if they are drinking on something. So, what are you drinking today? We always start with our guest, Malik. Are you drinking on something today?
Yeah, I got a nice Hefeweizen called When Did We Get a Dog? It's one that we grew over here at Zero Day.
Okay.
So, yeah. On that.
All right. What's the ABV on that?
It's 4.5%.
Okay. Something easy. Yeah. Something nice. And light.
Something nice. It was either that or bourbon barrel aged stout. So,
No. Light. All right. That's
if you want to just go that way.
Yeah, that's a large gap though. Like you, there was no in between.
Nah,
it's either 4% or 1,000%. It's just one or the other.
All right, yo, you drinking on something?
Yeah, actually, I am drinking today because I just decided to grab one of the joints out the fridge, which is Rhythm and Beauty Black Lager. This is what it looked like in the can art looks like. This is from Soul Mega. Shout out to Soul Mega. You know, I'm always going to represent Soul Mega. Those are my peoples. You know, this is a good black lager. It's a six percenter. This one looks like in the glass. It's really, really dark. So if somebody saw me drinking this, they probably assume it was a stout from the gate. I mean, because it definitely looks like it. But it's a black lager and has notes of plum, toffee, caramel. And let's see. And, of course, that coffee flavor with the roasted malts and African queen hops. And it creates a slight red berry and a woody hoppy flavor. Kind of. If that's how you want to describe it. But it's very coffee, the notes of coffee when you smell it. For sure. So I would look at this and smell it and be like, oh, yeah, that's a stout. But contrary to your belief, it's a black stout. And I mean, a black lager from Soul Mega. But I would pass me another one of these. It is going to be really hot, though, for some reason. But
what was the last thing you said?
It made me hot, like, immediately. As soon as I started drinking, I don't know why. But it's good.
All right.
Rob, what you got?
I actually got one of the, yesterday, well, Sunday, Saturday, January 31st, I actually attended the Dewey and Friends Beer Festival. So I got one of their collab beers that they did. It is the Citrus Cult. It's a hazy IPA they did with Dissolver and Crosby Hops. There's the can art. This is tasting notes is ripe mango, zesty citrus, and white wine grapes, brewed with Crosby CH Experimental Number 2, Nelson Motuka, Alfonso Mango. All right, there you go. It is 8%, so it's a hefty beer. Heftier than I thought it was.
Wait, what kind of mango is that?
It says Alfonso Mango. I don't know.
What's that? I wonder.
I don't know.
Wait, did we have this discussion of what's in that beer?
This is for this festival this past weekend. So this is
I know
this is brand new. I don't know.
So I'm saying though, is that the beer when he was on the podcast? Didn't we discuss a fruit that was supposed to be in the beer? And we couldn't figure out what fruit it was, and I was trying. I was making up all types of dumb shit.
Oh, you know what? Maybe.
Is that the one? I think that's the one.
Yeah. When Harrison was on.
When Harrison was on it. Yeah, maybe that is it. And I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, because this is one of the collaborations. But they did a collaboration with a couple of people. They did one with. But I think Dissolver was the one he was talking about. Maybe. I don't know.
Because I still don't know what that is. I mean, I get it's a type of mango, but I don't.
How many different types of mangoes are there? I have no clue.
Neither.
There's only one.
Mango is what I just one mango. Nah, but you know what's crazy? Like I do see because if you look at some mangoes, they're smaller, like maybe like kind of like this big. But then there are some mangoes that are like this, but I don't know what the difference is. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the power of the internet. Alfonso Mango.
Duh.
Mango is a name. It is a name mango that originates from India. It was brought to the UK in 2012. It's considered one of the most prized mangoes, known for its saffron colored flesh and coloring and uses in various dishes and desserts. There you go.
Hmm.
All right.
So I guess there are other other mangoes.
Right, like when we learned that there was a zillion types of apples.
Yeah, there are hundreds of mango cultivars, or I guess cultures. I guess that's what that is. So there's like apples. There's a lot of different variations of mangoes.
Wow,
there you go.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, because you have the Alper, the Alice, the Alfonso, the Rapali. A lot of names on there.
Don't even worry about it, bro.
Yeah. I assume it's good, right?
Yeah. It's actually good. This is nice. And it's juicy. It's citrusy. It's not too bitter. I mean, it is a hazy. So, I mean, it is an easy drinker. I mean, easy in terms of easy to drink. It is 8%, so I don't know how many you're going to indulge in, but.
Yeah. Do you taste the mango?
Yeah. I can taste it like at the after the sip. Like I can taste it on my tongue almost. Like you can, like, I mean, I've tasted like, I guess fresh mango, so I can taste that.
Yeah.
That taste in there.
Okay.
Yeah, so nice. I'm going to pass me another.
Cool. Dewey, that's good. We're using fruit.
Yeah. Well, once again, we want to thank Malik for coming on. Like we always say, right now, we want to once again welcome you to the podcast. We'll give you another round of applause. And if you want to tell us who you are, where you at, and how you got all in this business, the proverbial floor is yours.
Yeah, appreciate it. Malik Stark. I'm out of Harrisburg, PA, like in the center of the state. I'm sure everybody knows where Harrisburg is if you listen. So, like, look.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not. You know, it's the state capital. All that good stuff. I'm going to start brewing at 0 day back in 2023, I believe. Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's something around that time. Man, it's fun. I feel like I got into beer just like everyone else did, which is tried out home brewing at least once, and everyone usually finds a job in a brewery tap room and then ends up convincing somebody to let them go back to the productions. So
were you already, so because you say you started with a home brewing kit and then people go from there into the brewery? Nah, that's not
you
true.
You can't do that.
That's not true, because I'm assuming you were good. You did good with your home brew.
I mean, I didn't do like a competitions. Like I had an understanding, or at least like the opening of like an understanding of how home brewing worked, and understanding that whenever it came to like a large scale, or at least just like commercialized, it wasn't super, like it wasn't consecutive, but I didn't go from, I homebrewed back in 2014. That's what got me.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much. But yeah. And then I did almost everything before coming to work for 0 day as a server, bartender, whatever. Mm. And then left for a while, then came back, and then opening came up, and I was like, you know what? I think I can do it. Or at least, you know, I'm willing to learn how to, and then just ran with it from there.
Oh. So was this something that you were always interested in doing, or it's just that you started drinking beer and was like, oh, this beer is good, and now I want to try to make it?
Yeah, that's what it was for me. I mean, especially with homebrewing, I remember the first few craft beers I ever had, I didn't know anything about how they were made. I didn't know. I just knew I liked it. I know it wasn't the typical Bud Light or Bud Heavy or whatever else I shouldn't have been drinking. That was like just bad. Not bad, but just like there wasn't a whole lot to it. So once I figured out that was crap, I was like, yeah, I gotta go with that.
So what was your, your beer, your gateway beer? What was the beer that said, all right, I like this crap beer?
It might, I can name about five that probably did it, but I don't know that one that like opened the door. Dragon's Milk.
Okay.
It's a stout, yeah. Like a Russian Imperial stout. I was down south at this point, down in Alabama. We were super close to Georgia. So everything from Terrapin, Sweetwater, Monday Night. Who else is out there that had a lot of Three Taverns? Tuker, that was a big one. The Moohoo from Terrapin. Yeah. I like stouts, so yeah.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah. Y'all can't get in with the stouts at all?
Nah, I like stouts. I mean, it's just, I like stouts, but you can only drink so many stouts. I mean, like, at a sitting, I'm saying. Like, so yeah. If you out somewhere, it's not like you order four stouts. And I'm, like,
yeah. You're not getting a stouts.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the type of stout. Because, like, a breakfast stout or something like that, which is, like, 4%.
Mm-hmm. It's 4%.
You probably can drink a lot of those. But, like 10%, 12%, 14% stouts, I'm I can't.
See, I like them heavy. If I want to go for it, I want all of it.
And I think after the age of 40, I think my tolerance has lowered. Like, I can't. Like, a stout used to be my favorite brew style, but as I've gotten older, I tend to migrate more to, like, lagers and lower ABV styles. So, I mean, I still indulge every now and then. I had a few yesterday, but it's not always my go-to anymore. I still have quite a few cans of stouts in my refrigerator that I need partners to drink.
Yeah, that'd be the thing. You need somebody else to drink with you, because they be so high. They be so high, but they're so good. They're so good. And to me, it's a lot of things that you can do with a stout, even though it's all has that coffee-ish taste to it. But once you start playing with it a little bit, yep.
Same with, like, my orders too. I'm a big fan of porters also, because they're a little lighter. You can do a whole lot with those too.
Yeah, that's true.
And still keep that all the characteristics that make it them.
That's true. So when you did your homebrew, what kind of beer did you brew at that moment?
We found, like, a bunch of, I don't want to say a bunch of clones, but, like, a few, like, I know we did a brown ale that I'm pretty sure that we got from, or at least it was supposed to be a clone of, like, Brooklyn's brown ale. We tried to do a Sculpin, like, a fruited IPA, like, from Dallas Point. I think they have the grapefruit Sculpin. Mainly those two, just ran with those. Nothing. We didn't have a setup for, like, a lager or anything like that. So mostly ales.
Okay.
Now, was this before you, because you said you were in the South at that one point, just before you moved to the North, I guess?
Yeah.
All right. So what, I guess the question is, what brought you to the North? Like, what brought you to Harrisburg?
Harrisburg specifically? I was young, man. I was dating someone. Of course, like, nothing really motivates you like that. It just made sense, right? I still knew about Harrisburg because I was a wrestler in high school, and we came up to PA to wrestle
okay.
a lot, like, all the time. So, yeah, just came up here, knew the area, met some friends, met some other people, and, moved up here in 2017.
So what part of the town are you from?
I'm from Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shoot.
I don't want to hear an accent. So I had no, so you
be oh, right. Yeah. That was true. Ain't no accent at all. Like.
Yeah. I was born in Chicago. That's where my family's from. So, like, bouncing back and forth between Chicago, Milwaukee, Minnesota, St. Paul. I don't know. Maybe this is the combination of all those accents.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Do you have a home? Where are you from? I don't know. You know what? I have no clue anymore.
I graduated from down there. So, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess you can claim this out. Yeah. You graduated from there. But you was moving.
I guess it's 0 days. So what is, I know you brew there as well. So what was what was your first, I guess, professional brew that you brewed? What was that?
It was our, There's a funny story about that too. I think the first time I was solo on the brew deck, I'm supposed to be making the lager, and I know for a fact I put in the wrong bag of grain.
Oh shit!
It was supposed to be this light Mexican lager, and it came, like, before I started like recirculating it to like louder and stuff like that, it was red.
Huh.
So it, yeah, I was like. And after that time, I was like, no, that was the first thing I brewed here. Because, like, I couldn't do that. But, yeah, first thing I brewed over here was supposed to be our Mexican lager called City Islander.
And so what did it turn out being? That's the question.
Not drinkable. a waste of money. Yeah.
Damn. That's what y'all should just sold it and called it that.
Yeah,
a waste.
Yeah. Call it. We can't legally give it away.
Or like a lot of, like some people do, like call them experimental batches and be like, oh, yeah, try it. Tell us what you think.
But yeah, that could be a gift and a curse. Yeah. If it's that bad, they're gonna be like, I don't want none of y'all beer.
Yeah. You don't want that to be the first beer somebody tries?
Yeah. Yeah, this is experimental. Yeah, bro, don't experiment with anything
else. Stop experimenting.
Sit your ass down somewhere.
Stick to what you know.
So after that, did you actually brew the Mexican lager yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to brew that the next day. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, everything went smooth. Everything was the right color. Yeah, all that.
Hey, you live and you learn.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yeah. Well, making mistakes like that.
Well, I'm always curious when you make, like, when that, things like that. So do you have, I guess, cleaning is a big part of brewing. So did you have to go and do the clean all over again just to start?
Yeah, but that's the thing. You only make a mistake like that once.
Yeah.
Typically, if you learn from it, you only make it once.
All right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Doubling, triple checking is a big thing.
Yeah.
Now stouts being your favorite beer, I guess that's your favorite. Is that your favorite style?
I would say so. I mean, anything I like beer melanated, I guess, and then
dark beers.
I like lagers.
Melanated beers is crazy. That's
up. I like it.
I like that. No, I'm gonna use that melanated beers.
You know, I have an appreciation for lagers, especially like dark lagers, even the light ones. Like, I mean, I can drink anything. I can appreciate it. But like, if I'm going out and buying something for myself, or if it's all about me, yeah, I'm going to pick up a stout, a porter, a brown ale, a scotch ale, something like that.
Okay.
So do y'all do a lot of stouts at Zero Day?
We've done a lot more since I've been brewing. Yeah, I gotta put that together. we did a raspberry porter.
Okay.
That was cool. In the wintertime we usually have a little bit more, you know, to go out, but yeah.
Well, do you feel like stouts are just a winter beer?
No,
Thank you.
So, no, no. Obviously, if lagers aren't only a summer beer, stouts can't just be a winter beer.
That's true. That is so true. But they were like, nope, you drinking a stout in the summer? Ugh. What? Come on, it's a beer.
Yeah, it's a beer. It's, I mean, hopefully you're in the environment that you, the climate controlled environment anyway. So, yeah, why not?
Nah, I'm drinking my stout in 98 degree weather outside.
No. I'm not drinking a Guinness at a park bench. I'm not.
No. Sitting in the park and it's 98 degrees. You're like, what you getting?
Yeah, no, none of that.
Burning up. So are you the hair brewer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, if you could brew any beer that you wanted to brew, and it could be as fancy as you would like it to be.
Okay.
Any ingredients that you wanted and you would have access to, what kind of beer would it be? And like, what's your ingredients?
I don't know. I feel like I know, but like, it's also a matter of like, I want it to be good. Also, I want everybody to think that it's good. It's not just having the control to like go and pick out what's in it. Like,
yeah,
I want people to enjoy it. So like,
okay, well, let's just say people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's just hypothetically thing. Yeah, okay.
Probably a Scotch ale with a Scotch ale with but like finished in like a rye whiskey barrel.
Oh,
like aged in that.
People drunk too.
I mean, just a little bit.
Yeah, that is. Don't drink that outside on the park bench. You gonna stretch the hell out.
Yeah. He does that.
But, yeah. I mean, shit, it sounds good though.
Yeah. I mean, we made a beer not too long ago for the first time called Drop Dead Goza, and that was, I won't say that was all me, but I was pushing for it a lot. And like, I was
what
like,
was it called?
Like,
Drop Dead Goza?
Yeah, Drop Dead Goza. It's a traditional goza in a tequila barrel. Mm. And that was fire. And I had no reason to think that it was going to be good. But like everything that I read about like ingredients and stuff like that,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is going to, it was pretty much built to go in its tequila barrels. So,
yeah
it came out the right way.
I could imagine that would be good, though. A tequila barrel for a goza. Yeah, it works. That sounds like it works.
Yeah.
It sounds great. It sounds like right up Lou's not on here today, but that'd be right up Lou's alley.
Oh, work?
Yeah. Tequila and a goza. Yeah. Yeah, you can. He'll be... You might have to. Y'all got any more of that?
That's a coincidence. I even brought this up. We just put it in tequila barrels like two or three days ago. We just sitting in the brewery right now, aging. So
okay, so when's that going to be ready?
Probably try to let it sit in there until June.
Okay,
July maybe.
Okay, we'll be there in June or July.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Come out in a few months. I'll pull it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's something no one tells you before becoming a head brewer that you don't learn until you become the head brewer?
That's a good question.
It is going to take up a lot of time, even whenever you're not physically doing anything. And that's if you, like, once you start caring about beer and it's up to you to kind of work with others to make sure it comes out the way that it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. It's no shutting that off just because you left for the day. Like there are days I leave and I'm in my car. I'm like, man, I could have probably turned the temperature up. But like, or I should have checked this or something like that. But like, whenever you're in there, like it's hard to shut off.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a good question.
Yeah, you become very meticulous about stuff, especially if it works. So, like, you know, if you didn't think you had a type A personality before, you kind of like, no, I use this specifically for this thing. And, you know, you waste a lot of time trying to do it the same. Not waste a lot of time, but like you become a creature of habit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of like being a, I can imagine it's like being a head chef of somewhere. Like, you gotta make sure everything's good. And like, that's too much fucking pressure for me, man.
Really not. But if you like it, I mean, it almost doesn't feel like that much if you care about it, and you're willing to do it, and everyone around you is the same way, you fall in line and you get out. Like, that's...
I think in my head, I'll be thinking, like, because, you know, you're always your own worst critic, right? Mm-hmm. And so when sometimes you be thinking it's not as great as I want it to be. Do I need to serve this? Like, and then somebody else may drink it and be like, oh, it's the best thing ever. But it's like, damn, I hated this.
I mean, but that's like in anything, though, because even like you have like singer-songwriter who said,
yeah, that's true.
That was the worst song to me, but that becomes a hit. So I mean, that's the same.
That is true.
No, I feel like that's with anything creative. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's what it is. That's true.
Now you did. You said you did a lot of different things in the brewery space or a beer space before you became a brewer. Like, where did the recipes come from when you became like? Were you already working up recipes? Like, how did you? Or did you just say? Or they already had recipes there? Like, how did you?
Yeah, like they existed way before I got here.
Okay,
I had like recipes at work, won awards, all of that. So I don't know. I think before, I always came in and helped with like the canny line, kegging, stuff like that. Like stuff I felt like I could do before. And then the brewing position came open. And I was like, all right, if you all are going to teach me, I think I can do it. But
so people, so do you ever get to like create your own recipes?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's what the we've been coming up with newer stuff a lot.
Okay. Oh yeah, because you're the one that bought all the stouts in.
Yeah.
My bad, I forgot.
But that's the other thing with like creating a recipe too, is like I feel like I'm still pretty green whenever it comes to like brewing. So I don't want a recipe to be 100% what I think. Because if someone else, you know, part of the team knows a better hop to use, trying to get alpha acids or better yeast to use or something like that, like I want that because I want the beer to be as good as it can be. So if it's all my idea and I'm like not even scratching the surface of like better quality or something like that, I don't want to short myself either.
Right, yeah, that's true. Because and then also you can, if it's not good, you can blame it on whoever had their input in it. Shit, well, they
it's
told me
everybody's fault.
Because remember, they said to use these. It wasn't just me. I was just the brewer.
Now, what's the brew system like for 0 Day? Like, what is the brew system? Like, how many barrels and all that stuff? Can you do?
It's a 10 barrel system. We have a pretty big, we have a 20 barrel hot liquor tank, which it makes sense to me now. At first I was like, it seems like a lot, but like, no, it's enough.
That's enough.
You can do like two turns. So like while you're knocking out one beer, you can be mashing in during the whirlpool or something like that. And you couldn't do that if you were only, if you didn't have that hot liquor tank being like oversized.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's not the biggest system, but you know, it looked huge whenever I first went over there. It looked like a spaceship. I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get this. I don't know what I designed it for.
It was a little intimidating at first.
Oh, extremely intimidating. Yeah. I don't get how you could walk into any brewery and be like, I got this. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's true.
You don't know how stuff is set up. You don't know. You don't know where the pipes are going. You know?
Right.
You're
just walking in using the wrong fucking grains and
yeah,
like, making a Mexican lager red. And
yeah, like, I did that. Not in the training.
I had a question. What was, I forgot what my question was. Because you're in the, I guess, central PA, I guess it is central PA. Like, how does that shape, like, what do y'all have on tap? Like, does that go into decision-making? Does, like, Harrisburg area, like, shape what, like, I don't know if it's a big IPA place or it's a big stout place. Like, how does that even work in terms of what you have on tap at any given time?
I think that it's mainly, I feel like most breweries, no matter where you go around these days, like, unless you're just known for one style of beer, everybody wants everything. You got to have an IPA. You got to have a lighter beer.
Right.
I don't know. It's pretty diverse. Like, we usually try to keep a light option. You know, if it was up to me, we would always have a stout on or at least a porter.
Right.
We make our own hop water, so that's always around.
It's funny you said if it was up to
him. Yeah, if it was up to me, you know, you would always... the dark option. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty diverse. I think people, once people know what you have and they find their favorite thing, that's all they're looking for anyway. Then we'll try it, or at least around here. I can't speak on, you know, the other places in the area, but Zero Day, we have some diehard fans of specific beers that we make.
All right.
It's crazy because I don't think I know much about Harrisburg at all. I mean, I remember we had some other brewers on here that was from Harrisburg, but I don't know what happened to them, to be honest. But that's pretty much it. I had nothing with Harrisburg.
All right. I'm always curious to know, like, if there was a beer that you tasted, and as a head brewer, is there a beer that you tasted and said, damn, I wish I would have brewed this? Is there any beer like that?
Yeah. it was a beer that I had out of, where is it from? It's from down south. I think it was Three Taverns made it.
Okay.
And it was a sour called Raptures. And I was like, man, if I like sours enough to make this, this would be fine.
I like sours. Why not make it though?
Like, I do like them, and we do make them. But okay, that one is just—he
said not enough. I don't like them like that.
I think it comes down to like I think it was so good and so like perfect that like I'm sure that they had a bunch of like trial runs of making that over and over again to really hone it in. And if you don't like sours, that's just dreadful. Like we make the Gozo, we make another sour that has fruit in it, and like those came out, didn't have to do too much to it as far as like tweaking.
Yeah, I like a good sour too.
What's a really, like, is there any, see, that's the thing. I don't know a lot of sours either. Like, I could probably name a dozen stouts, but, like, as far as sours,
the Dewey Beer Company, the beer that he had, they make good sours.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they make
some. I feel like I've had a few by then, not knowing, like, the name or anything.
Because they're more like, they lean more to, like, the smoothie type of sours.
Yeah, they're heavily fruity and sours.
Yeah,
definitely. But they be, I don't know how they do it, but that shit be so good.
Are you a fan of Victory? Like, I know Sour Monkey is a big.
Not that. Okay.
not that sour.
No. When you talk about Sour Monkey, is not a sour. That is a. What am I? That needs to be in a different category. Nothing against victory, but like if I'm trying to convince somebody that sours are delicious, unfortunately, I'm not giving them a sour one.
Really?
That's like 9.5% too, right?
And it's 9.5% of scariness. Like, that is just, I can't even explain it. But we, when we first started podcasting, I'll never forget, we had it on the podcast. When we first started, and I was like, okay, wait a minute. There's no way hell that anybody's drinking these. Because they're so pungent. Like, that's a super sour. That's what that needs to be. It needs to be under a super sour.
Okay. Imperial. Yeah, just keep adding adjectives to it. Yes.
Well, I think that's how they got to heavily fruited beers, because they tasted the original sours and was like,
But see, and the thing is with me, like, I've had some sours that hasn't been like heavily smoothie, that like that's the thick kind, that have been delicious.
Right.
They just been light and just good sours. But yeah, that Sour Monkey, man, out. Sorry, Victory.
I'm good for one, just on principle. I can drink one.
Drink one Sour Monkey?
Yeah, that's about it.
I can't make it through one.
I can make it through one 12-ounce can.
One 12-ounce.
I was thinking a bottle. He said, yeah, just give me a mini. What's that, like the 8-ounce cans?
You pony.
Now, from all the beer you brew, what beer best describes your personality as a brewer?
Ooh, I'm going to say that raspberry porter.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. It was called Raspberry.
Like Prince?
Yeah, like Prince, dude. Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. Me and him share a birthday, so I feel like I had to, you know. Yeah, throw on one. That was probably the first one that I took a real swing at.
Okay.
All right. Like, coming up with, like, a base and what I wanted to do with the beer. But I was talking crazy whenever I was first doing that. Like, I was like, I want the foam to be purple. I want all kinds of... Yeah, there was no way to do that.
I guess it wouldn't be.
Now, is it still in rotation? The Raspberry Port, is that still in rotation in terms of?
No, actually, it didn't sell out super quick, but we only did a 10 barrel batch. So I didn't think that was done around this time. No, around before Thanksgiving last year, I think that came out.
All right.
It was good.
I like it.
Oh, so one thing I mean, because to be honest, I don't really know much about Malik, but I did hear you say that he does comedy too. Yeah. Is that right? So where does this come in from, a brewer to a comedian? How did we get here?
So whenever I would live down south, like I said, I was super close to Georgia. So like going over there was, I could walk there, and the only place I could be around everyone else, like in the downtown scene as someone like in between that age of 18 and 21, mm-hmm. was this place that let you do stand up at 18. So I was like, I want to go in there. So let me sign up once. And, I took a break. I wasn't that good. I wasn't, you got to have a lot of confidence to do stand-up, or at least fake it. And I don't think I couldn't fake it, and I didn't have it. And went up there, bombed a lot. And, I took a little hiatus and then came back pretty recently around here. And then I came back in 2022.
Okay.
And started doing stand-up more, and started going out to more places like Philly, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Anywhere I can go, put together my own shows.
All right.
For a little while, we were doing comedy once a month at the Tap Room, and I was hosting that.
So let me ask you this: who told you it was funny?
A lot of people.
You know why I asked that question? Because you know, sometimes like you can be around like different depending on who you're around. You could be around your family members and they think you hilarious. Yeah. You get around your fucking friends or somebody and they be like, Shut up. They're like, yo, do you know you're not funny, right?
I think, who told you? But I think that even liking comedy, like a lot of people talk to me about stand up, especially knowing that I do it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I always think I can do it. I'm like, if you think you can do it, you have to at least try. Mm-hmm. Because you'll find out very quickly if you can. People are not nice.
Now, are there any correlations between being a head brewer and being a stand-up comedian?
I want to say no, but like, I take that back. I think doing stand-up more definitely like has helped me being able to like speak up whenever I'm talking about like what I want out of something or like anything like that. And I didn't even put that together. I thought that there would be no correlation between the two. And looking back on it, I'm like, would I have really like stood up and like said something about something I like?
Right.
Yeah. If I didn't know that I had like the, I don't want to say confidence, but like I'm confident in like how I feel about it. So like, if it's just about using words, I do that all the time. Why can't I do it now?
Yeah.
So now, do you do the stand up on a regular basis? Like, when was your last, I guess, gig or show?
I think the last gig I had was out in Philly. Okay. It was in, it's a new spot over near the casino, like right down
near Live Casino. Walker's.
What's that?
Near Live Casino.
I have no clue. It's near what is it? The Punchline.
Punchline.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And
was that Punchline?
No, it wasn't at the Punchline. It was at the Philly Comedy Room.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was cool.
Okay, Philly
Comedy. It was a lot of fun.
When was that?
Probably halfway through last month.
Oh, so it's pretty fairly recent. Do you actively try to do like one or two a month, or do like how does that work, or do you just do it as you?
It's mainly open mics. I mean, open mics around Harrisburg. And out going towards Philly, a lot of those, and every now and then someone will reach out on like Instagram and be like, hey, are you available for this day? Okay. This is where we are, something like that. That's how the Philly day came up.
All right,
so I'll go anywhere. I'll try to make people laugh.
All right. So tell us your best joke. No, just joking.
I was going to say the same thing. Well, since you like to make people laugh, here we are. Hold on, let us get our most serious face so we can get into.
So you're gonna take out a notepad, just write like a number on it. It was a two.
I'm sitting like, make me laugh.
Well, I'm actually always curious about comedians because it's funny enough that one of my coworkers, she believes she's funny and thinks she can do stand up. Do you sit and write jokes? Like how do you work on your shows or your tight five or whatever the tight 15?
Yeah. Usually, I'm not the kind of person to just sit down and write. Like I'll write it down once I get it. Like if I think of something, I'm like, does this make sense? Like, I'll ask people, like, especially, like, other comics. I was like, is there something there? I'm like, yeah. So, like, I'll write it down and try it out the next time I get on stage, typically.
Okay.
But as far as, like, just sitting down, staring at a blank wall, and just, like, being that kind of creative, no, that's not me. I'll fall asleep like I'm not in school.
Well, if you had to compare your comedy to another comedian, like what would you think your style would be? Is it more like, I guess narrative or like just punchlines? Like how?
I don't know. I could tell you like five people who I would love to say that's who, like an inspiration. Right? That's who I should be compared to. And then you could see them and see my set and you'd be like, you ain't nothing.
You said you're inspiration, so you aspire too big. So,
yeah. I would say probably like Hannibal Buress. He's up there for me. Dion Cole.
Okay.
Mitch Hedberg. Those are like some of my favorites also.
Okay.
Bill Burr, the way he can just fly off the cuff, dog. Like, I can't. Like, that takes some crazy skill. But like, I don't tell jokes like Bill Burr does. So like, I may never be in that kind of situation.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, because we had another comedian on the show before, and like it just sounds like it's tough, yo. People are so hard to please.
It is. That's what it is. And I don't think it gets easier. Like people who are making it, and who have like a huge fan base, they say the same thing. You know, like sometimes people like you, sometimes they don't.
Yeah,
they let you know both ways, but. It's not easy,
right? Because it's almost like you gotta have a universal baseline, because you gotta at least make at least half of the crowd laugh. If not, it just sounds crazy. Like, yeah, that's true. So you gotta be able to make quite a few people laugh.
I still get nervous. I feel like if you don't get nervous, you should be. You don't know these people most of the time.
Right, yeah.
But, I'm just like, I can't go up there with anybody else's jokes but mine. You might not like them.
I think that if I would try stand up, because people used to say I was funny. Well, they still do say I'm funny.
Wait, you serious?
Yeah.
Who told you?
But they used to, people used to tell me that I should try stand up. Nah, I would never. But if I was to try to stand up, I probably would take a laugh button with me, like the laugh sound, just in case.
Just for you?
Yeah. So, just in case, you know?
That would be funny, because then people would be laughing at your laugh button.
At the fact that I got a laugh button, or this is my own sound effects.
I feel like you should, man. I feel like... It becomes addicting. Like, if you have a bad set and then you realize why it didn't work, like later, and about how you said it or something like that, you're like, "All right, I can fix this next time. Next time needs to be tomorrow."
Or an hour later, you get addicted to trying.
Yeah, you get like, "All right, I kind of had him with the setup or something like that. Like, I need to figure this out." And
I'm gonna go take a course at Helium. First, and then see.
There you go.
Oh, they'll set you up right, man.
What? I'm gonna say. I'll think about it.
Let me know. I'll take it too. I don't think I'm big enough to get into Helium yet. So like maybe
you don't if
I
take so? A course.
I don't go out to Philly that much. So like I'm. Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, they have their scene, and, you know, I can't just come in there and be like, I'm from Harrisburg, I belong here.
See, that's funny. They be like, oh, he's funny, he thinks that he can just walk in here because he's good.
Yeah. If I do that, I better be killing from start to finish. No, yeah.
Yeah, because I when you say it, like, it never gets, like, you always get nervous and it never really gets necessarily easy. I think it's because like people who are established comedians, they're expected to be a certain amount of funny. Mm-hmm. And then when it doesn't translate as it did 3 years ago, then now, oh, he ain't funny as he used to be. He's still funny. Man. It's just that it's a different type of, a different set. So it's not that he's not funny no more. He just ain't doing the same shit that he been doing.
But some like people, I feel like people should appreciate that. Like,
I think so too.
Like, I mean, Kevin Hart has to work on material somewhere.
Right.
And he's fire. Like, we get to see him whenever all the lights, all the jokes are sharp.
Right.
So whenever he's like trying to figure out like, what could I say in this part right here? He has to say that to someone. It might not be funny the first time.
Right.
I don't mean that Kevin Hart ain't one of the greatest.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of comedians still do like workshop it before they take on that big room. Mm-hmm. They still workshop their jokes. I mean, because even like I think Chris Rock still goes on, like just pops up on stage if he has something to work out and try to see if it works or not, and then you go from there. I mean, I just watched a a whole special of what was it? Kev on stage and
Tony Baker.
And they do a freestyle comedy thing. So I mean, it's like you got your jokes from the crowd. I'm like, hey, that's a good racket right there.
Man, those guys are hilarious too, man.
Yeah.
Do you think that the comic scene or like it's just like the comic scene has gotten too political?
I want to say yes, but it doesn't have to be, right? Like, I don't think that if you listen to any comedian podcast or any comic podcast, they always talk about, like, we're not here to, like, make a political stance. Like, that's not what it's supposed to be about. It's about making fun of the political stance.
Right.
Like, it's not, like, and it's supposed to be, like, going on both sides of that. Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to be like, I'm against this, but I am this. You're supposed to make fun of it all. Like, it's
right. Yeah, because that's why I asked that, because I think that a lot of times, like, now, it's like one way, like, and people are trying to get their point across on one political side in their comic sets and not just making people laugh. Like, it's just
at the end of the day, yeah,
it's just supposed to be fun, but they be just going in, I feel this way about this person, whatever. But it's, come on,
now
I still think that
you got it.
I was gonna say, I still think that you can talk about political stuff. Like, I don't, and that's not because I choose not to. I don't understand politics very much. So, like, why would I talk about
it?
Who do, if you can make fun of it or you can make somebody laugh talking about it, use everything that you have.
All
right. Yeah, it's true.
Now, like Yoda had said earlier, that we did have a comedian on here before, and they actually went out to, I guess it's Kill Tony. Would you do something like that? Like, would you go on and do and try your hand on at that?
I mean, you would have to if you have the opportunity to, like, sign up. I mean, pulling a name out of the bucket is, that can make you huge if you do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people have blown up from that.
Right.
So, like, you got to try. But I don't know what that 1 minute set would be. But I have no clue what it would be. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I would definitely. I think I could do it.
Yeah, and it's the way she
sounds like he's about to do it. Sound like next year it'll be on Kill Tony.
And it was funny because the way she described it, she was like, "It's literally some people don't have no jokes. They literally just think that they were funny, and they just like, fuck it, I'm gonna just go ahead and do it." Like.
But like it's literally throwing your name.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, on the off chance that you've never done stand up comedy before and your name gets pulled.
Yeah. It must be meant to be.
I don't think I would have the balls and be like, all right, I'm gonna go up and do something. Yeah. No, what? We're like, no, I'll come pull another one.
You're saying that. Then I just wanted to see if I get picked, that's all.
That's a lot of pressure. It's hard for people who have done stand up for 5-10 years to go up there for 1 minute in front of, like, all those people. Been doing stand up a while. I don't know, 1,000 people, 2,000, 3,000. That's more people than I've ever performed in front of. I think I might be capped at like 100.
We gotta get you in front of at least 1,000. Come on, bro.
I mean, I will. If the crowd's there, I'll do it. But that's not how a lot of shows are. Yo,
Malik, think about it. If it's D, I don't want fidgety and shit. If it's a dog, shit, I just...
I'm usually not too nervous if I know I'm going up. But something like Kill Tony, where, like, you find out you're going up 2 minutes before you're supposed to be on stage.
Right.
I don't know about that.
All
right. That's true.
All right. So he's going to be flying to Houston, Austin, and trying his hand out next year. That's your 2026, 2027 goal.
I might.
Yo, so do you, Court, like, do you talk about your brewing in
any of your... So bad.
You just trying to figure out how to throw it in there.
Yeah, just how can it be funny? Like, it's serious.
It's got to be a way.
I just, I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
It's like, yeah, so I'm a brewer.
Yeah, yeah. I make a beer. And then just people start dying laughing. I'm like, yeah, all right, that's it.
I'm here. I make beer. Let me just wait.
Yeah, yeah. Get a standing ovation.
Oh, you're going to have to get my laugh button, too. Problem solved.
Hey, there you go.
I do try to do stand-up every place that I go to, though. Like, if I ever travel or to a festival or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you got to. Like, I'm going to, I'll be in Manchester, UK, for this beer competition. I'm
gonna be judging. What a flex.
Yeah, you know, just something I just put it out there. No, I'm just,
Everybody, it was a setup. This is great. I was like, you know, he could be. That was a setup. He set us up. He said, you know, I like to do the show everywhere. Try everywhere I go, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be in Manchester.
Yeah. Let me give you my tour dates real quick. I'll be in Manchester.
That should be interesting because of the like the things that we called. There's like, there's a different jargon and lingo. So that should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that. Curious to see how that all works out.
Have you studied before? You need to make sure that you know what's going on before you go.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm going to go watch one day and be like, hey, I'm an American. what shit not talk about? What shit? What's going to get me put in jail?
We might want to check on that just to be on the safe side.
Well, I mean, it's the UK, so it's pretty. It should be pretty simple. But I'm just
pretty flexible.
But just in terms of like the things that they call like university and just the jargon that they use is probably is different too. In terms of like, yeah, they don't understand what I'm saying, or vice versa. Like, so just because sometimes when I listen to like British podcasts, sometimes it'll be like by context clues I can figure out what they're talking about, but when they say that at first I'd be like, what? I don't know.
They be cracking up. They just be like, it's so funny. You're like, what the?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've listened to people talk in like that UK slang with like a 3-second delay because I don't know.
Yeah. Right. That is true.
But it's funny. A lot of comedians tour out there, so I mean, I guess they know what's. I mean, what's going on? So
I mean, they know them.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in context of the American lingo and like all that. I think it'll be fine.
Right.
And if not, then good luck.
I hear they love American. I hear they love American comedians. So there's one thing. They love like they like the our slang as well. So there you go.
Yeah,
go on there. And just do your show. You stay in Manchester, right?
Yeah.
And that's funny because I think that's with music too, right? Because if you think about it, like some artists that even American artists don't make it here, but they'll go to the UK. Their music's hot in the UK, but some of them don't. You'd be like, who the hell is that? When it's here.
True.
Right. So.
True. Now, just pivoting quickly back to like brewing, like when you are brewing, like a brew day, is it a silent brew day or do you got a soundtrack? And if you do, what is that soundtrack?
Oh yeah, I got a soundtrack. It usually starts with a podcast.
Okay,
what podcast?
I listen to like 7, or at least whenever they come up. I was listening to the Black Brewers podcast because I just got caught up on all of theirs. I've listened to this one 100% during a brew day before. I can't remember her name. We might be talking about the same comedian that you all had on.
Maybe.
I can't think of her name at all. She
also is a politician. Like
Yeah. I know her. I've met her.
Okay.
I listen to We Might Be Drunk. That's a good one to listen to.
What's it called?
We Might Be Drunk. Uh-huh. It's Mark Norman and Sam Morril, 2 comics out of New York.
Okay.
Freakonomics, that's the math economy podcast. Nerd. Yeah, a lot of nerd shit. But then as far as music, A lot of Wu-Tang, a lot of System of a Down, a lot of Isaiah Rashad and Schoolboy Q.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll be
I definitely see you listening to the Schoolboy Q.
For real?
Yeah, you got a Schoolboy Q listening face.
What's that?
I think what he said is that I'm dark. I think that's right.
Let's go with your question, man.
I don't know what that meant.
I'm gonna give up a Drake vibe.
But her name was Medina. Is Medina?
Medina.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw her whenever she. I saw her first round of Philly's Funniest a few years ago.
All right.
Rush. Right. She is hilarious, man.
And she did kill Tony. That's why I was asking if you would do it too. All right. Well, any more questions you got, yo?
I thought I did have another question, but I can't remember what it was.
I had one more question though. Like, if you were handing somebody who didn't drink beer, what 0 day beer would you hand them?
If they didn't drink beer,
yeah,
probably a dark lager that we got for City Islander, something like that.
Okay.
Then I'll let them try the bourbon barrel aged style or the tequila barrel aged goza. Yeah.
I feel like, because I guess because my thing is, like, if you're a drinker, if you go and drink a beer, it's some beer out there that you like, for sure. If you drink liquor.
Right.
But everybody be like, I hate beer. Like, you just ain't had one you like yet. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's it. You don't hate it. Because I could always say, I hate tequila. But there is certain tequilas that I like. So it's like, I don't really hate tequila. I just hate that tequila. All
right. You don't like a margarita? What are you putting?
I don't mind it. I'm not a straight. When I say tequila, I mean like having it like straight. Because people take shots and all that shit. Like, I can do a drink, cocktail, something like that. I'm fine with that. But like tequila. But just straight tequila. Mm-mm.
No.
But Lou bought us some peanut butter tequila that was delicious.
Word.
Yeah, it's really good.
I never even heard of that. I'm going to try it. Yeah, I didn't even know they were doing it.
It's so good. It's so good. But that's when I was like, okay, tequila's not bad.
It's good if you like peanut butter. If you don't like peanut butter, then you might not like it. But
that's true.
It's good.
But it's really good. Yeah.
I like to sip on tequila, like especially like just Blanco. Like I can sip.
See, I can't do that. I can't do that. Yeah. Neither can Rob. Look at him.
Yeah, straight sipping. Straight sippers.
Obviously with ice. Like, I'm not just room temperature.
Yeah, it definitely has to be cold.
Yeah,
I don't even fucking do that either.
No.
Really?
Yeah, me either. But if I'm like down on my luck,
if you can't afford a mixer,
but then again, I could take shots. So maybe I could sip it. I don't know. I don't think I've ever tried to just sip tequila. I think I know me. It's either in the cocktail or I'm taking a shot. I don't think I ever just had to just. On ice, like, oh yeah, give me chilled tequila. I've never even thought to drink it that way. Now I'm thinking about it. Like,
I think
y'all got to come out. We can do it. Give us a nice bottle of some ice cubes, man. probably try the tequila barrel age. Goes, but
all right.
Apparently, we're gonna be stuck in Harrisburg. Me and Rob it was crazy because we just had a shot of tequila last week or the week before last when we was out and it was so hot it was no way that I could drink this tequila was so it was like wasn't it though it was like so warm. I was like I can't
I didn't mind it. I drank it.
I couldn't do it.
Sometimes you just can't think about it. You just got to just bop.
That's true.
Keep moving.
Like medicine. I mean, I can do it, but I'm not choosing it. I'm not choosing just warm tequila to shoot or warm anything to shoot.
That's true.
That's true.
I agree.
My last question, and I think I asked a lot of brewers this question in terms of what is your thoughts behind beer festivals? Like, what are your thoughts on beer festivals? You like them, love them, you could do without them. Like, what are your thoughts on them?
I think there needs to be more of them, especially where beer is right now. And they have to be, there's so many breweries that people don't know about. And there's so many different ways to make a beer festival different.
Right.
So, like, there needs to be more of them in my brain. Like, I think that the more beer festivals you have, the more people know where to find that beer that you might not ever drink.
Right.
And, you know, now you're a fan of that beer. Now you're going out to try to find other beer like that. I think it's helpful.
That's a good way of looking at it. Right.
Well, I'm curious to know in terms of, and now I got another question. like when I went to the beer festival, like there was it wasn't a diverse crowd, but it was like young and old, but it wasn't very diverse, I think.
Very colorful.
I probably stood out the most.
Yeah, because you were by yourself. It's normally at least the three of us. High-fiving each other. Hey, nice to see you, black guy. we all came together.
Yeah, there was sprinkles here and there, but I always curious to know, like, what would you think is the disconnect between, like, people of color and craft beer?
I think, I don't know, I don't want to assume that you two are much older than me, but, like, you know, I'm going to assume that you might be a few years, but, like, I didn't grow up around craft beer.
Right.
And I don't think that, like, I didn't grow up around breweries or anything like that. I didn't know that there was, like, a craft scene. I knew beer, I knew alcohol, but I didn't know that there was, like, it was, like, a fun, everyone can be a part of this kind of thing until, like, I graduated high school and went to college and, you know, been around other types of people. So, like, being that kind of exposure, I don't know. If you don't ever care about beer like that, you're not going to go look for a beer festival or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? I never even looked at it, like, I never took it that far back. Like, you took it to, like, it wasn't around when you was a kid, like, and I never even thought about it that far back, like, because I guess you did when you grew up. If you were with their family and they were drinking, and they asked, and nobody, and they didn't have Budweiser and all that shit, they normally was just drinking liquor.
Yeah,
so it's like, so that's how you know exactly what liquor is versus the beer part of it. And I guess that makes sense. It's what you saw when you was younger.
And like, I don't want to speak for all black people, but I'm like, we don't homebrew like that.
Right.
That's true. I mean, I can name a bunch of people who do now, but I'm also.
Yeah, but that's because that's the same thing with us. It's like, but prior to, like, I would never even thought about it, to be honest. No.
I think more exposure to it, it'd be all over that.
I'll always say that a lot of times too, is that it's hard to get black people to try something new, right? That's not being pushed by certain people.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like, I mean, because it's like any type of brand. Like, we will go to a brand depending on who's pushing it.
Rihanna to push it.
Yeah.
She does drink beer, so she just...
She does drink beer. But, like, if she was, like, just say Rihanna just was, like, walking around drinking a fucking can of this Rhythm and Beauty, right? People are going to be like, what she got in her hand, first of all, if she got this can, right? And then it's Rihanna. And so now people are trying to figure out what she got in her hand. Now, she ain't even got to promote it. Just the fact that she's holding this can, people going to be like, yo, what the hell? She drinking that? Blah, blah, blah. And now everybody like, oh, Soul Maker. That's Soul Maker. And now they want to try it. And then, I don't know, man. And I guess enough black people don't, like, just black individuals don't really I don't know. Because I don't even know how Cutwater got like into the.
Yeah, that wasn't. Like, that's not ours.
Yeah, like, well, how did that happen?
They just completely took that.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, how did. So that's a good thing to use, right? Because it's more recent. How did Cutwater get into the black community like that?
Well, it's still alcohol. It's just in the can. It's just ready. Ready to drink cocktails.
Is it the price point? I've never bought Cutwater. I've had a few, but like I never paid for it.
But I don't like, even know if it's the price point. I don't know.
It's also TikTok. Like there's a lot of
well, that's yeah. TikTok. So maybe that's what it is too. It's like. We don't go at the right angles.
Bro's got to go on TikTok. You got to go on TikTok more.
Yeah. Because what, bro, like, I'm about to look to see who's actually really pushing shit through TikTok. That's breweries.
Yeah, there you go. We found the answer. We found the answers, guys. Yes.
I think so. Rihanna and TikTok.
Rihanna and TikTok. I also think just like, anytime that someone tells me that they don't like beer, a lot of my homies and stuff like that I do stand up with, they're like, I don't like beer. Right. I'm like, all right, but have you had this? Right. And they're like, yeah. All right, that one's fire. Where can I buy a case? Right. Yeah. It's like immediate. It was just like, I thought I didn't like beer, but like, I like this right here. Yeah. Is this the only way to have it? And they're like, no, like this is just one out of a few of this stuff.
Right. It's always funny that there's so many breweries, craft breweries out there. I know that we're losing a few every day, but there's enough of them that you would think when people think beer, they automatically still think Budweiser, Heineken. Yeah. They don't really think like, oh, there's other, like they don't even think about craft beer at all. I'm like, it probably just tastes like beer. They don't even give it a thought. They just go right to the things that have been saturated in the community for.
Yeah, and I think it's because of because if we think about it, our breweries, like a small business for the most part, right?
Right.
Like, but these big beer companies got TV and all that shit. And so it makes it different. Now, hopefully, hopefully people start getting more in tune with AI and start using that to their benefits, because I think that with the AI, it helped a lot of these small businesses push their products a little better. As long as they got somebody that can use it or they hire somebody that can use it. But of course people don't want to pay that money to hire people, but it's easy to learn. Like you can learn it. Yeah. Just play around with it.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that'll help. So,
yeah. So I'm just based on what you said about the beer festival. So you think it has to be almost like when people say, is it a black movie or not? No, it's just a movie that just happens to be black people in it. But now you're saying it's a festival, just happened to be a lot about beer. So I think you have to look at it that way in terms of
yeah.
a festival that is more about the experience and then just happens, oh, but there's all these wonderful beers you can also try as well.
I guess that.
I mean, I assume you know, we've been to a lot of beer festivals. You don't have to drink to go.
Right.
You can almost get in for free if you don't drink.
Right.
And
right.
still get the merch, the experience, the glass, like the glasses, the giveaways, all that. It's right. still like a fun time.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Right. There you go. All right. Any more questions for you?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, but okay, so before we go, I always like to say this is not off flavor, but it's definitely off topic. What is your top five artists that you're listening to right now?
Ooh. Schoolboy Q, Isaiah Rashad. Dang, you stopped me. Who else have I been listening to? Action Bronson has been up there for me.
Oh, snap.
Okay.
Wu-Tang all the time. Like, I can't stop listening to Wu-Tang.
Me too.
I can't get away from it.
I've been doing myself. I just listened to all the ODB album just yesterday.
Right, man? Like, who else is up there for me? Curtis Mayfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, ain't no wrong with that.
All right. Anything else, Joe? You got? You good?
Nope. I'm good.
Once again, we want to thank Malik Stark for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Oh, and I do want to say Happy Black History Month because it has officially began.
That's how we start off Black History.
All right. Black brewer slash comedian. Hey, listen, hey. Happy Black History Month.
Right. Before we go, we always like to know how people can find you on these worldwide webs, how they can find more about you, your comedy. How can they get to Zero Day if they want to? If they're in Harrisburg, or I didn't ask this earlier. Do y'all distribute, any, or is it just?
Yeah, we distribute. Yeah, mainly just Central PA.
Okay,
you can find us anywhere, or even Axe Force. We actually shut down our main tap room, but we have a stand and. Broad Street Market in Harrisburg, and we're attached to the Midtown Cinema, so we have a bar there. But like I said, full bar in the Broad Street Market in Harrisburg also.
Nice.
Okay, word.
And how can they find you?
My Instagram is The Official Leek, L-E-K, or just I'm tagged all over Zero Day's account. Their Zero Day account is at Zero Day Brewing. But yeah, I'm easy to find if you go there. If you want a beer, message me. I have it.
All right. Yo?
You can find me on IG at IM302YODA.
And you can find Bruising Banter Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Bruising Banter Podcast. You can even go to www.bruisingbanter.com if you want to get merch like this hoodie right here and what Yo got on as well. You can also listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can say Alexa Play Bruising Banter Podcast because we are on Amazon Music as well. Shout out to Lou Belgium. This has been another episode. If you want to follow me, Rob State Bruising is here, right? Rob
Stay Bruising. Yep, it's there.
You can follow me on Instagram right here, Rob Stay Bruising. This has been another episode of Bruising Banter Podcast. Until next time.
Until next time.
Have a good week.
Bye. Have a great week.
Nobody pray for me. It been that day for me. Yeah. Stupid. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and